sermon about sleeping. How strange, you say to yourself. You say to me, well, I have heard about the sermon that put people to sleep, but I've never actually heard the sermon about sleep. Well, today, after today, you'll not be able to say that. Let me begin with a story that I love, a funny story. The late John Stott, I can't quite get away from the late John Stott. On one occasion, he was invited to preach in Florida, so it's you Americans we have to blame for this one. And he went to this great cathedral in Florida and was introduced by a minister. He was the dean of the cathedral, and I'll not try and put it on because I'm useless at impressionating other people, but he said in a southern drawl, you know, when I first read a book by John Stott, I said to myself that I'd crawl 100 miles on my hands and knees to hear this man speak. And now, ladies and gentlemen, he is here, and you're going to hear him for yourself. And he handed over to John Stott to come and to preach the sermon. And after John Stott made a few introductory comments and proceeded into his sermon, about 5 minutes later, he glanced down to notice the dean was fast asleep. He had fallen completely asleep. To which, afterwards, John Stott said that he could only assume that he was worn out after 5 minutes crawling. True story. I suppose today I need to work extra hard not to wake you up. We're thinking these Sunday mornings, and hence what may seem the strange titles, we're thinking actually of the great Protestant Reformation principle of the sanctity of the ordinary. Or, if you want a text, which I'm sure you do, 1 Corinthians 10 and 31, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. And we've been thinking over these Sunday mornings of how we are all guilty of dividing life into the sacred and the secular. The sacred-secular divide is a divide that has come down through the generations, and yet what we've been learning is that the reformers, people like Martin Luther and John Calvin and others, said a massive no to the sacred-secular divide. Remember what we were saying, this idea that permeated the whole of Europe, actually, that if you wanted to worship, well, you either became a monk or a nun or a priest, and the rest of society just worked. And the Reformation, as well as calling people to the great salvation principles that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, they also called the society in which they lived to this principle that whatever we do it to the glory of God. And so we are learning, and it's good to learn these things in the day and age in which we live and in the society in which we live, that to be a genuine Protestant theologically is to be a person who affirms the great Reformation principle that all things are to be done to the glory of God. And as Christians, we need to learn to sanctify the ordinary. Because the truth of the matter is, we spend most of the hours in life doing what we could describe as ordinary things. Now, here's a question which leads me into the subject this morning. How many hours do you sleep in a day? That's a good question. 6, 7, 8? We're told that 8 is the average. Now, if it's 8, think about it. That's a third of your day. A third of your life is spent in bed. Have you ever thought about that? A third of your life is spent sleeping. So how do we sanctify the ordinary aspect of sleeping? And even still, some will think, what a strange thing to be speaking about. But what does the Bible say about sleep? And what are the lessons for daily life? Well, there's a number of things that I just want to... this thing's playing up. I should have shown you that a moment ago. We've already looked at the sanctity of work and of eating. And you like my little friend? That's you tucked up in bed at night, sleeping. First thing is this. Sleep is a gift from God. If you have your Bible, there's a few verses that we're looking at. Glance over to Psalm 127. There's different psalms that we're looking at this morning, amongst other texts. But Psalm 127. Here's a lovely text. I don't have it on the screen, but listen or look at it in your own Bible. Verse 2. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. And what the psalmist is saying here is the biblical principle that, yes, work is important. And we thought a little bit about that a few weeks ago. But life is not all about work. And so the psalmist says, in vain you rise early and stay up late. So here's this person who really going through life. They're up really early. They're going to bed really, really late. There's so much stuff to be done. But the psalmist says, God grants sleep to those he loves. You see, sleep is a gift from Almighty God. Again, isn't it true, in life, people go to extremes. In the Christian life, people go to extremes. Consider the extremes that people go to in this context. On one end of the spectrum, you have people who are workaholics. And on the other end of the spectrum, you have people who are workaphobics. And yes, I do wonder, is that a real word? Well, I've made it up this morning. And in many ways, the play on words, yes, but it's actually an important lesson. People either make work an idol, or they are literally idle. And I suppose, as would be the case in any gathering of people, there are probably some here today, and your problem is that you actually are a workaholic. And whilst you would be horrified at the thought, just be careful you don't make work into a little idol. And dare I suggest that there may even be a few people, I'm sure not too many in the kingdom of Mourn, who are actually idle. Truth be told, you're lazy. And you need to waken up from that. You see, yes, work is a gift, but so is sleep. So let's avoid the extremes. Let's strive for BBC, not the British Broadcasting Company, but balanced biblical Christianity. And again, without getting diverted, and if you want to look these verses, for example, if you glance over to Proverbs, it has an awful lot to say about the problem of laziness. For example, Proverbs 19:15, laziness brings on deep sleep. Or Proverbs 20 and verse 13, do not love sleep or you will grow poor. Stay awake and you will have food to spare. Or Proverbs 24 and verse 33, which says, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit. So the scriptures sound the warning. On the one hand, Psalm 127, don't be thinking life is all about work. You also need to sleep. Because sleep is a gift from God. But don't be going off in the other extreme and being just a lazy creature who's scared to get up and do a bit of work. None of those things are worthy of a Christian believer. But having said all of that and sounded the warnings from Scripture, the basic principle still stands: sleep is a gift from God. And so many blessings and good things come from a good night's sleep. And I'm not going to spend sermon time reciting them. If you want to find out what they are, Google it and you'll get a whole pile. Sleep is a wonderful gift from God. The second thing that I want to say is this, that sleep is a reminder about God. Glance back to Psalm 121. This is a wonderful psalm. It's a psalm that I, well, not always, but often read with people in their home or maybe at hospital, because it's a psalm that speaks about how the Lord watches over us. Verse 4, indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Bible teaches us that while God rests, we think of the Genesis account, God does not sleep. God watches over his creation. Within the Christian church, we are not deists. Deism, without complicating the thing, is the belief that God created the world and then he walked off into the universe and left it to its own devices. We are not deists. We are theists. We believe that God created this world and God watches over this world. Yes, even this fallen world. And I cannot pass from this point without acknowledging the fact that here we are speaking about the fact that God does not sleep, that God watches over his creation. I am very mindful of the fact that we live in a world where bad things happen. And we don't have to think very hard at all. We think of that awful shooting down of the Malaysian aeroplane. We think of the awful suffering that is going on in Israel-Palestine. We think of what I've just cited from Andrew White, that minister in Baghdad, about the systematic murder of Christian people. And the world seems to be silent. And so we could go on. And I haven't even touched on the fact that personally, many of us here today know the pain of bad things happening. And there is a mystery here. Why does God not intervene? But remember, it wasn't God who shot down that plane. It's not God who's chopping off the heads of Christians in North Iraq. It's man. Sinful man. And that's what happens in a fallen world. Bad things do happen. And God does not always intervene to stop evil. One day he will intervene and say, enough is enough. But we're not there yet. But here's the point. God is not sleeping. And you know what that means? To be more positive, it means that we can trust God. Let me put it another way. It means that you can go to your bed at night and you can entrust all things to him. You can put your head down on a pillow and you can go to sleep and say, Lord, I can't deal with all of this stuff, but I'm just going to leave it with you. Glance back to the beginning of the Psalms if you have your Bible, because I just want to draw your attention to these psalms right at the beginning, Psalm 3 and Psalm 4. Again, I'm not going to spend a long time on this, but just by way of illustration, if you're looking there, you will see Psalm 3 is a psalm of David when he fled from his son Absalom. He was under great pressure. There were many things coming against David. He had many problems. Look, for example, Psalm 3 and verse 1. O Lord, how many are my foes? Verse 3, but you are a shield around me, O Lord. And look at verse 5. I lie down and sleep. I wake again. Because why? The Lord sustains me. Do you see the picture that's been painted here? Here's David under pressure, all sorts of problems. But he says, I lie down and I sleep. Why? Because the Lord's with me. Again, into Psalm 4, it's the same theme that's being followed. Psalm 4 and verse 4, when you are on your beds, he says to the people around him, search your hearts and be silent. And verse 8, I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. An enemy can easily take your sleep. That may be a literal enemy, or it may be a symbolic enemy, but nonetheless, it's very, very real. And again, the truth of the matter is, and whilst I'm not literally mind reading, the truth of the matter is, in a congregation this size, that there are some of you, and you are not sleeping these nights. Why? Because you're deeply troubled about something. You're under stress. You're worried. You're concerned. But here's the lovely thing that maybe you need to be reminded of this morning. That you can go to your bed and you can entrust all of these things to the Lord. Remember the old text that some of us learned, Isaiah 26 and verse 3 in the older translation, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Do you remember that text? Wonderful text. Or if you prefer the NIV translation, you will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. Do you know that peace this morning? Sleep is a reminder that God can be trusted. And this leads me to my third point. And it's this, that sleep is a picture of the gospel. The psalmist says, I will lie down and I will sleep in peace. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Let me ask you this morning, when you lie down in your bed at night, do you sleep in peace? Proverbs 3, we're not going to read it now, but it's a wonderful chapter about the blessings of wisdom and being a wise person. And it says in Proverbs 3, and it's going through all these things that wisdom will bring, and it says in verse 21 and 24, it says, my son, when you lie down, if you follow the path of wisdom, you'll not be afraid, and your sleep will be sweet. Tell me tonight, is your sleep sweet? The fact is, and I'm not exaggerating here, millions of people in our world do not sleep well. For them, sleep is not sweet. And there are doubtless lots of reasons, and it would be wrong and foolish of me to generalize. But for some people, their sleeplessness is because of a stressful life situation. Their sleeplessness is because of a real anxiety. Their sleeplessness is because of a pain-filled heart. Their sleeplessness is because of a guilty conscience. It was the preacher W.E. Sangster who said that a gnawing conscience keeps the memory terribly alert, not least at night when you go to your bed. And how many people are tossing and turning in their beds at night because they can't quite get out of their heads something that they have done? It may have been a terrible thing. It may have been a minor thing, but they can't quite shake it off. Somebody once said, a good conscience is a soft pillow. And that is so true. And maybe that's why the psalmist says in Psalm 4 and verse 4, speaking to those around him, in your anger do not sin, and when you're on your beds at night, search your hearts Search your hearts. You see, when you and I go to our beds at night, yes, we're going to sleep, but it's also an opportunity, if we think about it in this way, to examine our hearts, to let our conscience work and to bring us back to God. And I don't want to dismiss the many other reasons that bring sleeplessness, but let me say this, the primary issue here is our relationship with God. And could it be that there's someone here tonight, and the reason that actually you're not sleeping so well in your bed at night is because deep down in your subconscious, you know that you are not right with God, and that is really eating away at you. And what you need to do is to bring all of that into the shadow and under the shadow of the cross. To use a phrase some of our American friends may know, C.J. Mahaney, and he said actually once in this context, he spoke about sleep that is sweet is related to the Savior's sacrifice. And how many people are there who do not enjoy that sweet sleep because they are not resting on the sacrifice made by Jesus Christ on the cross on Calvary 2,000 years ago. And this is what I mean when I say that sleep is a picture of the gospel. And as I finish, I want to say something which I think is very important, not because I'm saying it, but because the substance of what I say is actually very, very thought-provoking. And I want you to listen to this. I'm assuming you're not sleeping. Think about it this way. Each night that you and I lie with our full weight in a relaxed state upon a bed, you trust it to hold you. When you go to sleep, you don't make any effort. You're not constantly thinking and acting on the principle, I hope this bed's going to hold me. You don't contribute anything. You simply lie there with your full weight on that bed. That is a picture of the gospel, believe it or not. Because what is a Christian? A Christian is a person who, as it were, lies with their full weight in a relaxed state upon the Lord Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection for your eternal well-being. You don't make any effort. You don't have to make a contribution. You simply throw yourself fully on him, and you know and you are assured that he will keep you and he will sustain you until that great and glorious morning when you awake in glory itself. So have you ever thought about that? That every single night that you throw yourself on that bed and rest until the morning, it's a picture of the gospel and the wonderful message of what it means to be a believer. Not to take on religion, not to take on a whole list of do's and don'ts, not to be a holy Joe, but to go through life resting completely on Jesus Christ until he wakens you on that final morning on the further shore. Lovely picture. Lovely picture. Do you see that picture? Maybe that is why we spend so much of life resting and sleeping. Because all along, and we didn't even think about it, It was pointing us to the one, the Lord Jesus, upon whom we rest for salvation, for eternity, until he wakes us on that happy morn. Think about that. And tonight as you go to your bed, hopefully not quite the same way as you went last night, because sleep is a picture of the gospel.